You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Metal Mike, and in this episode, I'm joined by my buddy Ryan, and we have some fun creating our Metal Dream team-ups. We got some what-ifs, and hey, some could still even happen today. What if Vince Neil joined Brett in 1992? What if Angus Young and Eddie Van Halen created a supergroup? The possibilities are endless, and we have a blast. Hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Well, Ryan, welcome back to the 80s Glam Metalcast, my friend. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem, brother. So are you ready for tonight? Are you ready?
Dude, the dream teams. I like it.
Yeah, the super metal team-up dream teams, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be fun, man. It'll be all those ones that people that we wish would have gotten together back in the day. Maybe some of them still can get together if they're still alive and they still can sing and play. They can still do it. But I think there's a lot of cool team-ups that probably anybody who listens has in their mind that, man, I wish so-and-so would have jammed with this guy or that guy. So I think this will be fun. I'm very curious to see what you have and see if we have any that are the same.
Oh, yeah, dude. Straightforward, I got like the 1992 Dream Team, big time, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. I mean, I got all that coming. But, man, I got some that are out there and some that are pretty straightforward, you know, four- or five-piece bands. And then, you know, some of them that'd be like, yeah, that'd be cool if there was like a jam or a replacement singer or something like that. So, yeah, I got a little mix-up, but mostly it's pretty straightforward.
Sweet. I kind of cheated and kind of like doubled up on a couple of mine because I'm like, even though this one isn't like incredible and I won't talk about it long, I'll just throw a couple team-ups in one of my picks. You know what I mean? So there's no rules to this one. So.
All right, good.
All right, man. So I'm excited. I want to hear number 15.
Okay. Well, I didn't really, again, have like a complete order, but, you know, there's so many great ones. I just figured I'd kick it off with some giants here. I got my man Jamie Lane. I got the dual guitars of Eddie Van Halen and Angus Young. I got Juan from Rat and Tommy Lee. And, dude, I mean, you got Janie Lane, one of the most underrated money songwriter and singers of all time. You got Eddie Van Halen and Angus. You know, you got Eddie doing Panama was inspired by Angus when they were at the Monsters of Rock in Donington. Ooh. Just that riff alone. So that's pretty cool little bit of knowledge and trivia right there. I like that. And then you got Juan's energy back in the day, bopping around stage and his awesome backup vocals, and then just like a young and hungry Tommy Lee from like the Shout era, you know, maybe even theater era. So anyway, I thought that'd be a pretty kick-ass band.
That is a good one. I like that. I like Angus and Eddie together, because like that's two of your big guys right there, so that makes sense that you would do that one.
All right, good.
I don't have them in any real order, but I kind of, even though this one's was like a really cool one, I wanted to kind of throw it in at the beginning just to get people's attention. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna set the stage. It's 1992. Rat is kind of falling apart, right? You know, it's kind of not happening anymore. And Piercy leaves, and he does Arcade. Motley Crue has a little split. Vince Neil's out of the crew, so I thought, you know, what a killer idea if Vince just would have got together with the guys from Rat.
Oh, perfect.
You know what I mean? Especially at that time, because the cool thing that I'm thinking about is that Vince really wanted to continue into the 80s hard rock sound, and I think the guys from Rat kind of wanted to do that as well. And when you listen to, like, Nobody Rides for Free, that was kind of a cool direction. I was thinking, man, like, the stuff that they were doing toward the end, Primal Scream and the kind of stuff that Crue was doing toward the end, if you could have kind of put that in a blender and put it all together, I think that would have been a great team up.
Dude, that would have been killer. I like that one a lot.
I figured you would. And then, you know, honestly, All right, okay, if Vince on a good day live, okay, let's just throw that out there. Wouldn't it be cool to hear him sing Lovin' You's a Dirty Job or hear him sing Round and Round? I think his voice would sound cool on some of the Rat tunes, so.
Yeah, dude, I've done that with, like, the different AC/DC singers and been like, okay, what if Brian Johnson would have sang this or Bon Scott would have done this song? And, I, you know, you and I are so, like, schooled up in the Vince Neil world and the AC/DC world that you can actually do that in your head, you know? Yep. And it sounds cool, so I can hear it right now. I like it.
Nice, nice. All right, well, I think we're going to blow through these. 14!
Yeah, so this one's a little bit of a different scenario here. So I really like the musicianship of the band Accept. You know, they're yeah. very straightforward hard rock. But like I've said before, Udo's voice just doesn't resonate with me. I can't do his voice. But they did have David Reese in the band for Eat the Heat in 89, and that thing was just smoking. I love that album. But because that's already been done, there's a guy named Peter Marino. He was in a band called Le Mans.
Okay.
He sang in Cacophony with Jason Becker and Marty Friedman.
Okay.
As well as a band called 9.0. And that guy's got one of those deep, growly voices similar to a David Reese. And I just thought that that'd be killer to hear that kind of team up. So, again, I'm not replacing a whole band or building a whole band. I would just love to hear all the Accept stuff, but with a David Reese, or in this case, a Peter Marino. So this is one where I just said, you know what? The band is there. They're kick-ass already, but let's just get rid of the ingredient that doesn't settle with me.
Yeah, I know you've got a mixed emotions on Udo, so to have him out of there is probably a good thing in your book. So
that's it.
All right, my number four. All right, this is where I cheated and I doubled up because I feel like these ones are just quick and I'm not going to have much to say, so I could kind of throw a couple out there. So I got some Kiss-related alumni together I think would be a good matchup,
okay.
And that's Bruce Kulick with Todd Howarth from Freely's Comet. I think they I think they're in the same vibe. You know, the kind of stuff that they write and the way that they play, I think those guys would mesh really good together, and I think the Kiss family would accept them with open arms. So that's part A. And then part B, now this one, I don't know, this one just came out of the blue in my head, and it sounds like it would make sense, but Chris Holmes with Dee Snider. I don't know.
What do you think? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're both kind of those nasty, gnarly guys that kind of play like that straightforward, like, caveman metal rock, you know what I mean? I just think they would go good together.
I like that. Dude, that both of those work really well. I really like the Frilly's Comet stuff.
Yep.
So I can hear it in my head again, and that sounds killer. And those two beasts, Dee and Chris Holmes, dude, that is money. I think
for that one, like, if that was done, I mean, once again, it could happen today, and Dee can still sing and Chris can still play, so, I mean, it could happen today, but I'm thinking more like in the 90s, like instead of if he did Widowmaker, instead of that, and Holmes was out of Wasp, maybe they could have teamed up and done something cool. Who knows?
Totally, yeah, even Holmes in Widowmaker, just add a little bit of that hard-ass element to that, or harder, it would have been sweet.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man, 13.
All right, you'll like this one. I got Dio pairing up with Yngwie in 1988, specifically 1988 Yngwie Dio matchup. So I'll say with either or all of their actual backing bands. I don't want to replace anybody. Mm. I like their bands at the time. I mean, of course, I like Joel Lynn Turner at the time, but you know, Dio, you know, he could have used a little shot in the arm at that point. They're both that Euro type music, and Yngwie was peaking at that point. So you know, it was like kind of similar to when Dio went back to Black Sabbath to kind of kickstart his career again. But you know, why not pair him up with another guy like Yngwie? I mean, kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, I've thought of this before. And actually, this does come up on my list too, but with others as well. I won't spoil it, but it does come up. I thought of this myself because they're really cut from the same cloth. You know what I mean? Like they're just that same kind of a vibe. and they did Dream On together, like a cover. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really cool. But once again, that's them doing a cover. They really should have did an album. The problem is the egos. Like, they got too big. Like, Dio needs to be in a band that's called Dio, and Yngwie needs to be in a band called Yngwie. So I don't know how it ever would have worked. But if they would have just done it as a separate project, call it something else, like, you know, Dragon's Breath or something, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that would have been one of the greatest albums of all time, those two together.
Dude, yeah, hell of a matchup.
All right, my 13, very simple, very quick. When Zinny Zan was out of Shotgun Messiah, yeah, how cool would it have been to put Kim Hooker in with Shotgun Messiah? Because I feel like he's like a more refined Zinny Zan. You know what I mean? Like, I think he would have worked better, at least in my opinion, as the singer versus Tim Tim becoming the singer. So that I thought that would be a nice matchup. Kim Hooker and Shotgun, yeah.
That's thinking outside the box. I like that one because Tiger Tales Berserk is, like I said before, my number one glam metal album of all time. Mm-hmm. And I really like Shotgun Messiah. And I like the Second Coming album. I will admit that his vocals are good, but they're not zinny, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that would have added a hell of an element to that band.
Yeah. Or even if the other guy sang, because I think he sang a little bit on the first album too. Even if they traded off vocals, you could have a lot of cool interaction there. I think it would have been killer.
Yeah, good matchup. That's cool, man. I like it.
All right, number 12.
All right, this is another straightforward one. I like this one. So I got Mick Mars, Paul Sorrentino, Bobby Blotzer, and Bruno Ravel from Danger Danger.
Wow, that's an interesting one. You had me at Mars and Sorrentino. I thought that sounded pretty cool.
I know.
The other guys are
exactly
cool too.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mick is just a beast, you know, obviously. But his guitar obviously goes really well with a guy with high-pitched vocals. Mm-hmm. And Sorrentino has high vocals, but he has, I mean, let's face it, he's a more talented singer than Vince. But I would still favorite Vince because I love my Vince.
Yep.
But I think Mick and Paul Sorrentino would be great. It was, you know, it'd probably be something similar to, like, when Karabi got in the band and they're like, oh, damn, we got some range finally. This is good.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you got Blotz with that killer swing, you know, that rad swing that he's got going that I think it would fit just with that mid-80s genre of Mars hitting his peak. And then you got Bruno Ravel just writing these killer songs in Danger Danger. You know, he's kind of like a Kip Winger where he doesn't even need to play bass most of the time. He just kind of chugs along and writes these sick songs and the rest of the fellas make him killer. And, you know, back to the Sorrentino thing, he's just such a diamond in the rough. And, like, he's the reason why I like Quiet Riot. I dig some Dubrow-era Quiet Riot stuff, but I know I'm not in a ton of company here. But I think that Quiet Riot with Sorrentino is my favorite Quiet Riot album. So I don't think that there's many others that feel the same way, but I really like his voice, and I think that's a killer album. So,
nice.
Yeah, man, I think that'd be a cool pairing.
And I can't join you on that one. I would definitely take Metal Health over. I love Metal Health, so maybe it was just one timing thing. You know, I got
it. It's hard to
rock. Those are my early metal albums that I bought, so it's up there for me. So,
gotcha.
Okay, number 12. I'm not sure if this would be... let me just throw it out there, and then I'll figure out how it would make sense. But Akira from Loudness with Don Dokken. So I don't know if Akira is going to in Dokken or if it's going to be a project, but when you think a lot of the riffs, like especially like the riff for like You Shook Me and a lot of that Soldier of Fortune stuff, I mean, Don Dokken would sound killer over that stuff. You know what I mean? So, and Don Dokken, and you know, obviously, I like Mike Vocera way better than Don Dokken on most levels. But I just think I would like to see how it would go. I think it would go well together, and I would like to see what they could come up with those riffs and his melodies and lyrics and stuff. I think it'd be killer.
Yeah, he could have lended some killerness to Don Dokken Up From the Ashes.
Yeah.
Because that's a great album, and there's some really good riffs, but there's just something not quite there for me on that album. I don't know what it is, but dude, he could have been the missing piece. Even though Norum was in the band, that was about as good as it gets, you know? But, you know, so that's killer.
You know what's an interesting point you make, though? And if you notice, if you open up the liner notes of that album and the pictures, every guy is from like a set country. You know, remember that? Like, the one dude's from Accept, and the one dude's from Motorhead, and they show the flags of where they're from. Akira could have brought in the East, man. He could have brought Japan in. That would have been sick.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I like that. All right, number 11.
So this one's another kind of a stretch, but I got Mikey Steelheart, you know, the singer for Steelheart. Mm-hmm. And, okay, hear me out. I don't know if you ever heard of the female-fronted artist or the female artist named Lee Aaron. She's a Canadian metal. Yeah, she's got some really good stuff in the 80s and then up through the early 90s. And in particular, there's an album called Body Rock. And I like her version, obviously. I like she's killer female fronted band. It's a ripping album. But I always thought that if you got a guy like Steelheart singing this album, in particular, there's a song called Sweet Talk. And it would just if he could kind of mimic what she's got, he's got enough range and high vocals where he wouldn't do it a disservice, and it would be a monster. So if you just got him doing that album, it might be one of my top albums. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Steelheart and I like Lee Aaron, but just dreaming, wish list stuff. Put him over the top. Be pretty killer.
Nice. Sounds good. All right, my number 11. All right, so I got Kelly Hansen. And there's two different guitarists I'd like to see him with. I don't know if it would be in the same project or different projects or different bands, but I'd like to see him with Key Marcello. I think Kelly Hansen, Key Marcello would be a great team up. And also going back to Bruce Kulick, I'd like to see Kelly Hansen and Bruce Kulick. Maybe all three of them could do something cool, but I think the guitar guys might clash a little bit, because they are very distinct players. But, yeah, I just think I'd like to see Hansen with both of those guys.
Good call. You can't go wrong with Kelly Hansen.
No. Number 10.
All right, this one you might like. So, I want to see Alice Cooper's Trash album with John Bon Jovi singing that entire album at his bubble gummiest.
Nice.
So you got he and Sambora writing Hell Is Living Without You anyway for that album. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know about it, but there's that demo out there of Bon Jovi doing House of Fire.
No, I never heard that.
It's killer, dude, because I think they offered it up to Bon Jovi first for the New Jersey album, I think. And they passed. And then Cooper got it, I think it's a Desmond Child song, for Trash. And I know you're not the biggest fan of Trash, but I bet you'd be a bigger fan of Trash if it was Bon Jovi singing it, especially in like 88, 89.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because I don't feel that that album's the right album for Alice Cooper, but I feel like it's the right album for somebody. Like you said, maybe it'd be Bon Jovi or some kind of other 80s pretty boy type of a guy. Yeah, I'm with you. I like where you're going with that.
Yeah, and I think Jovi did, probably because subliminally I knew about the House of Fire thing and it sounds killer. But then I was like, well, you know, who could really make this album? It's pop metal, most of that album, and I love it. But who could make it, take it to that next level? And I thought, well, who better than that guy at that time in his life?
Well, don't get me wrong, because when I think of the song Poison, as much as it's overplayed, it's a really great song. And really, I can't hear anybody else but Alice Cooper singing that song. But then some of the other songs, like House of Fire, could be sung by anyone. Like, it does not feel like an Alice Cooper song. You know, there's just certain ones that feel like Cooper and then ones that don't. You know what I mean? And that's why the album's kind of like off, you know, spotty for me. So. All right, number 10. You're gonna like these. This is good thinking here. So first, I got to throw Ron Taylor from Lonely and Axe out there. What a great voice!
Yeah.
But wouldn't he be so great?
I'm sold already.
Wouldn't he be so great with Warren DeMartini? Oh, that would be gold there. I would love to see those two together. But this one might even be better. Tracy Guns with Steven Piercy.
Oh, dude, perfect.
How? Those dudes are so sleazy and nasty and from LA. I mean, they would create the greatest music ever. So I think that one's the one I'd really like to see. Although, like Ron Taylor 88 with DeMartini 88, somewhere in there, 88, 89, that would be just awesome. But I think anytime you can do Piercy and Tracy right now, and it's going to be good.
God, I feel like it's happened. You know what I mean? Like maybe they did some tribute album or something like that, but I feel like, how did it not ever happen?
Right.
That's like the perfect team up.
How did it not be an album? Like, that's, yeah. Well, maybe once they hear this, we'll tag them on it. We'll see what they think.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. Number 9.
All right. So I got the Muscle Gang. I got Kane Roberts, Bobby Rock, and Nikki Six in 89 just making a killer.
Yeah, get some muscles a little bit.
There you go. Yeah, just black hair and muscles and just badassery. So, like I said in the 91 episode, Kane checks two huge boxes for me with his amazing tunes and the bodybuilding. And then Bobby, he's still in great shape. He's yep. putting his running and jogging and workout and dietary videos on Instagram all the time. He's pretty impressive. And then at the time, Nikki was, sober and ready to go and trim, and he had the six pack going. He was just a lean, mean, black haired dude. So I thought that'd be a pretty cool trio, really. So yeah, the Muscle Gang.
That would be good. You know what I think too is I think where I kind of criticized Kane Roberts' stuff of being maybe a little generic and interchangeable with other acts. I think having Nikki in there would maybe just bring that edge or that a little bit more original sound. You know what I mean? So I dig the catchiness of Kane Roberts stuff, but I think like with Nikki in there, it might just bring that a little bit more of a different flavor. Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, I think I'm going to blow your mind with this one. I even blew my own mind with this one.
All right. All right.
Let's set the stage. This is the year it should happen. It could happen anytime. It could happen now, but I think it should happen in 1994. So picture the scene. It's 1994. Tom Kiefer can't sing right now, right? He lost his voice. Mm-hmm. He's hanging tight. But he can still create great songs, great music, and be a producer. And he can be a producer for the Bret Michaels solo album. How about that?
Okay. Where you're going. Is he going to play on it?
Yeah, the two Philly boys. So Tom Kiefer and Bret Michaels are going to write the songs. Kiefer's going to play lead guitar, and he's going to produce. And it's going to be a Bret Michaels solo album. I mean, to me, I was like, this would have been just gold. Even if it wasn't a hit, we'd be listening. We'd be talking about it till this day. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Dude, that would be killer. If they could stick to, like, the Hot and Bothered stuff and, like, the Flesh and Blood or Swallow This stuff. That would be sweet. My only fear is that they go down the blues path.
But, well, even if they did, I still think it might not be bad because if you think about the trajectory of both these guys, they started off real glammy and then they evolved. They did some of the more bluesy stuff. I think no matter what they did, honestly, I think it would be good.
Yeah. So, shit. Yeah. I'm sold. Let's go back in time.
Let's get the time machine. Honestly, I'm getting as I see what I got coming, I'm getting so stoked because I've got some real hot ones. All right, what you got?
this one I think you'll like. So I got a Richie Sambora on lead vocals because, frankly, I prefer his vocals over Bon Jovi. Yeah. I know, again, I'm in the minority, but he's got such a strong, deep, awesome, raspy voice with that range. So I got him lead vocals with John Sykes on lead guitar and background
Ooh.
Vocals.
Ooh.
And I got the boys from Brittany Fox, Billy Childs, and Johnny D on the rhythm section.
Wow.
So I think that this band would be like a deeper, and obviously add one more member to like a Blue Murder, who I really like.
Mm-hmm.
But, why not bring like the bite down hard, glammy vibe of the rhythm section of Brittany Fox? And throw it along there with a little bit of the deeper Sambora and Sykes stuff.
Wow.
And, John Sykes writes these classic soaring riffs anyway. And then if you could have a dual guitar, dual lead vocals,
yeah.
Richie really be the lead. I mean, dude.
Oh, my God.
Can we go back in time again and do this?
Really? Because you figure you got one of the big players of the Whitesnake 87 album with a big player from Bon Jovi. I mean, if that was done at the right time, that could have been gold right there. Platinum.
Still alive.
Multi-platinum, or should I say?
Yes, right.
I like that.
And you can even call the band multi-platinum or whatever.
Sambora Sykes, though. I don't know. That might have a ring to it right there.
Oh, that's pretty killer, actually.
All right. Number eight. I think this makes a lot of sense if you think about it. So. Let's set the scene again. Jeff Tate, he's out of Queensryche. But instead of going with a guy that kind of imitates him, no offense, Todd LaTorre, I apologize. let's go with somebody who is of that vibe, but is very original in his own right, and maybe could bring a whole new theatrical dimension to this band. And if you know where I'm going by saying that, it's putting Lizzie Borden with the guys from Queensryche.
Ooh, wow.
Because he sings of that style. He does that kind of dramatic stuff. Can get real high. I think Lizzie Borden and Queensryche would have just been ridiculous.
God, can you imagine that concept album?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Oh, my God. Oh, this is, I'm telling you, man. I hope people enjoy this episode. And I hope I want to hear other people's combinations. But, like, just a couple of these ones that we've done so far. I mean, it's exciting, man. I'm excited about them.
I know, man. It's like, I wish they would listen to this and be like, shit, we're all still alive. Yeah, man, that sounds great. Let's give it a shot.
Definitely. All right, what's your seven?
This one's kind of funny. This is a little bit of a weird one. It's kind of like an oxymoron here. I got the Hard Ballads band. And let me explain. So some of these bands, I'm talking Except with David Reese, Pretty Maids, Icon, Banshee, dude from Saints and Sinners, Rick Hughes, Joel Ellis, MSG, Coverdale. They all have these deep, dark, awesome vocals. And they have these ballads that can't be the pretty Kelly Hansen, CJ Snare, Firehouse, Trickster stuff. They're always going to have that element of these guys' voice in there that's more badass and deep. So more so like a compilation album, whether it be their classics or new stuff, of the guys from all these bands putting together a hard ballads album. And some of them are mid-tempo and some of them are straight hard ballads. But they can't escape their own voice. So it's never that heartfelt stuff, and I really like it. So, you know, just check out We Belong from Saints and Sinners, and that pretty much sums up exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, so number seven, this should be no shocker coming from me. I don't really have a lot to say about it. I'm just going to throw it out there. Jolynn Turner and Vinnie Vincent. Who's with me? Well, and here's where I'm going. Okay, I love all the Vinnie Vincent stuff, but it tends to have a high voice. Every voice is like super high, right? And I think Jolynn Turner is brings it down a little bit. He's got more of that raspier, bluesier, just a little lower than he can still sing high, but you know what I'm trying to say. He's not that real whiny high singer. And I think he writes great songs, and Vinnie writes great songs, Vinnie wrote good songs. I don't know what he does today.
We'll see.
I'm still waiting. But if we put those two guys together, I think that would have been a cool combination. Once again, that might have been a great combination in like the early 90s, because Joe was out of Deep Purple and Yngwie, Vinnie was kind of crashing and burning, and Mark Slaughter was gone and all that kind of stuff. So I think that would have been a nice team up, those two.
Yeah. They may develop some sort of kinship as well for kind of both being reamed out of big bands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
they could find
that connection of the Kiss and Yngwie kind of firing and the fraudulent activity that they claim potentially went on. And yeah, they might form some kind of bond over that. That would work really well, I'm sure.
If anything, they would just talk shit about Kiss, Yngwie, and Deep Purple. So it'd be good.
Oh, that's good interviews. I'm sure, yeah.
All right, number six.
Okay, so this one you'll like, and it's straightforward. I got Lou Gramm, 1991, singing with Mike Slammer, Bruce Turgeon, and Tommy Aldridge on the drums.
Wow, that puts the Shadow King lineup to shame, I think.
Dude, tell me about it. You got Lou. You got Mike Slammer writing every song in the world, playing on everyone's album. Bruce Turgeon, he's got the bass from hell with those vocals. And then you got the, what do they call them? Like the human octopus or whatever they call
Thunder drums of
like,
Tommy.
That's it. The guy still looks like he's ready to run a marathon at probably 65 years old right now. So, I mean, dude, can you imagine that? That'd be like a Shadow King on steroids. Yep. I'm down for that.
Awesome. That's a great one. All right, number six. This is a weird one. I don't know if this is going to be TNT with potential different singers, or if this is a Ronnie Leticro, somebody put a lot of money behind a Ronnie Leticro solo album, but here's the guys that Ronnie's going to work with, and I think all of them would work so well. First of all, a fellow Swede from his part of the world, man, Joey Tempest. and Ronnie Laticro. All right, now that's that's money right there. So that's gold.
Mm-hmm.
Jolynn Turner's back. I think he'd be good with TNT. And the reason why I think that is because he sings backup on some of the TNT albums. And like I think it's the song Rain. He's kind of riffing on the end. I was like, ooh, Jolynn and Ronnie. I'd like to hear that. Ever heard this name tonight? Kelly Hansen. I'd like to see him with Ronnie Laticro. And then last but not least, the guy that probably has the most similar voice to Tony Harnell would be Michael Sweet. And I think Michael Sweet obviously writes very, you know, wholesome type music. TNT writes a lot of wholesome type music. So those are the guys that I would love to see Ronnie do something with. And actually all these could still happen because they're all alive and still pretty much kicking ass. So
that's killer. It like the beginning when I was coming up with these combos, I was struggling with this very issue in that you think of a TNT and they're perfect already. And I'm like, I mean, I can't take a member out of these bands. Like, that's why we had to build these bands because, you know, taking him out of TNT, you're like, dude, it was perfect the way it was. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, in fact, I'll ruin my joke right now, but I was going to debut, my first one was going to be, okay, I want Kip Winger, Red Beach, Paul Taylor and Rod Morgenstein. I think it'd be the best band ever.
According to Bo Hill. But wait a minute. Let me throw something out there. So this is where I was kind of going, especially with Joey Tempest, okay? I don't know. We did an episode about of this one a while back. I was with you weren't on it, but it was bands or why they didn't make it. You know what I mean? Or what went wrong, you know? And I don't know if Tony Harnell is – I don't think he's remotely part of the problem. But if I stack him up against Joey Tempest – like, Joey Tempest became huge, okay? Was it the look? Was it the voice was just a little bit more commercial? You know what I mean? I don't know. But I thought, like, could have Ronnie had more success with somebody else? Or could have Tony had more success with somebody else? So that was kind of where I was going with that one. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that either guy is a weak link because I think they make great music together. But at the end of the day, they did not make it big. And I wonder if a different combination with one of those guys could have. So that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, I believe we had referenced in an episode, and I said, sometimes I think TNT didn't go huge because they were too talented.
Yeah,
and that's one of these times where you're like, okay, Europe was talented as shit, obviously, but they attracted more than just the guitar geeks to their shows.
Yeah.
A lot of females, a lot of people that were just kind of loosely into the Final Countdown, etc. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah. Number five.
All right. Okay. I'm going to set this one up. I got Silent Rage's Shattered Hearts album.
Okay.
That entire album. But I'm taking one element out, and I'm putting Ted Poley singing Shattered Hearts.
Nice.
And I can picture it in my head right now. I mean, can you hear him doing Serena, you know, just she's turning heads with the way she walks. It works, dude. Like, play it in your head. You're a Ted Poley guy. You're a Silent Rage guy.
Yeah,
it could happen.
I'd like to hear Ted Poley do Rebel Without a Cause, or with a cause.
Dude.
Rebel with a cause.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh man, my number five is almost gonna piggyback on the joke thing that you just said. Set the stage again. It's the late 80s. Paul Stanley's frustrated with Gene Simmons. And there was talk there was going to be a Paul Stanley solo album in the late 80s. There was a Paul Stanley solo tour. Okay? And the band that he had would have been great because he did have a really good band with Bob Kulick and Eric Singer. And all the Kiss fans know that stuff. But I'm picturing Winger as the backup band for Paul Stanley with a Bo Hill produced solo album. What do you think? What do you think?
Dude, I think that's money.
Is that money?
Kiss
could play bass. He could do backup vocals. You've got Reb and Rod and Paul Taylor with Paul Stanley and Reb or Bo Hill. Oh man, what could have been?
Dude, I think that's money because you could have strong backups.
Yeah.
You could have excellent musicianship. You could have killer production and epic song. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, man. All right, number four.
I must correct myself. Rebel Without a Cause is what I meant. Not the Shattered Hearts album. I meant Rebel Without a Cause. I take it back.
Okay. I know what you meant. It's all good.
Thank you for correcting me. I knew you knew.
No, you're good. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that song on both albums?
I think it is.
Yeah, so there you go. You're covered. You got you covered.
Whew, thank God. All right. So this one. So you remember the stars? Ronnie James Dio put the project together, the fundraising? Yeah. So I got a stars lineup, okay? So I was really wanting to include all my main men. You know, I wanted to go with all my heavy hitters, and I was like, how am I going to do this? You know, I can't replace a Joe Elliott and Def Leppard. You know, it just ain't going to work for me. So I can't mess with that. So I thought, oh, perfect. I'm going to do a stars album. And you got James Christian, Dave Menichetti, who was on Stars, Johnny Gioli, Joe Elliott, Mark Starace, Billy Idol, Robin McCauley, Klaus Main, CJ from Firehouse, and Don Dokken, all at their peak. I mean, let's just call it 88, just peaking.
Yeah, yeah, just peaking.
And singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do like a charity song or something. Yeah.
Totally, a charity song. Have it be like that. Dude, that's a good song, too. I really like that video, that whole documentary, and then the actual song itself, not to mention all the sweet guitar players changing riffs. But I always thought it was so cool watching him in the studio behind the scenes just cranking those vocals out and watching Dio talk shit to Shortino and Don Dokken. But yeah, dude, I just wanted to throw that one out there. That'd be wouldn't even be a band. It'd just be a sweet song.
Nice. Well, here, number four, you knew that I would get to Yngwie, okay? So I've got some different ideas. I don't know if this is, once again, like the Ronnie Laticro thing where, you know, somebody put a crap load of money behind Yngwie and he was able to do either multiple albums with different people or different people on one album, but we're going to start. Okay, but Dio was with you 100% on that one. Also, Rob Halford with Yngwie.
Okay.
I think that would be pretty sick because he's got the high stuff, and I'd like to hear what their songs together would sound like. Also thought about Klaus Main. You know, sometimes the foreign guys, you know, like European and, you know, same vibe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then I started to think, but Yngwie, you know, he never made it big, okay? He just didn't have that right person with him. And then I started to think, what if, like, Yngwie was in Bon Jovi or with Bon Jovi?
Oh, dude.
And then I thought, what about Yngwie with Mike Tramp? Because Mike Tramp is also from that part of the world as Yngwie, you know, Sweden, Norway, and all that stuff. So those are a couple ones that I thought, like, if you get, like, these kind of famous pretty boys with Yngwie, could that have pushed him over? The metal guys like Dio and Halford, what would that have sounded like? So I had a lot of thoughts around Yngwie, and I threw it all into my number four, so.
I had heard once upon a time when I was kind of first getting into everything that Yngwie was the guitar player in David Lee Roth's solo band. Obviously, it was Steve Vai, but there you go. It's perfect. You got a wizard like Steve Vai with David Lee Roth. Dude, what if Yngwie was David Lee Roth? That'd be killer.
That would have been sick. Yeah, no
so
doubt.
I see where you're going. I like it.
Number three.
All right. So, similar to your Dokken stuff, I got... and stuff. I got Matt Slevin in fronting Dokken, basically. I got him singing with Lynch, Pilsen, and Brown, but I got him doing what would have been an 89 or 90 Dokken album, just like we've talked about before. I mean, can you imagine how killer that would have been?
Yeah, that's good because when I think of the vocals that are on that Facing the Animal and then mix that with the guys from Dokken, yeah, solid.
Dude, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Well, this one you're going to like, and it's right in sync with what you were just saying. Number three for me, Janie Lane and George Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm picturing this like around, you know, the early 90s because, you know, Warrant is fizzling and Dokken is fizzling. And when you think about the song, All My Bridges Are Burning, I've always thought the chorus of that song had a Dokken vibe. And that was kind of what I was thinking. If they could do material kind of like that, that would be just awesome.
You know, I'm singing it in my head right now, and I wonder if it's the Down in Flames part that's triggering you, because that was a Don Dokken up from the ashes, and then that's that part of that chorus. Dude, that works killer.
Yeah.
I'm singing it right now.
Nice. All right. I can't wait to hear your last two here. Number two.
Okay. So this one's duos. I got Mike Tramp and Vito Bratta, Tempest and Key, Harnell and Latecro, and Vince and Mick doing a tour or an album, acoustic and electric guitar, don't care which, all those guys, duos, get back to it. I want to hear them at their peak, preferably like a 1991 tour with these duos, dude. That would be sick.
Yeah.
Take the Bon Jovi unplugged if you want, or put them on a big stage and have them electrify it. I don't care. But, dude, all these guys teaming up with their guitar players respectively, I think it'd be killer.
All right. My number two. Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back to 1991-92. Jason Becker starts getting sick, and he's out of David Lee Roth's band. There's another great band that's falling apart around this time as well. Called White Lion. And we pair Vito Bratta with David Lee Roth to make one of the most epic albums and tours ever. Are you with me?
Oh, dude. The Second Coming of Eddie playing with the original Eddie? Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
I like it.
Nice.
That makes a lot of sense, too.
Yep. That didn't happen. We'll never know.
I know.
All right. This has got to be big, man. What's number one?
Okay. Well, I got Andy Taylor from Duran Duran, Craig Chikiko from Starship, and Chris Hayes from Huey Lewis in a killer 80s metal band with Scott Travis on drums and none other than Rob Halford singing. I need these sleepers that were in the behind the scenes of these pop 80s bands to shred like they know they can and just be fronted with killer rippers. Like, let's call it the Painkiller era with Scott Travis and Rob Halford. It's a stretch. It's about as big of a stretch as Duran Duran and Def Leppard touring together. But, dude, come on. I think it'd bring out the best in all of them.
That sounds pretty good. All right, man. This one, I mean, this is definitely my number one. And so if I think of something had the placement of things, this would be at the top. And it's a Motley Crue two-parter. Okay. So number one. I don't know if this guy is going to be in Motley Crue or if this is going to be a project with Nikki Sixx and the other person is Blackie Lawless. I would love to see them two together because they have ties. They were in London and they were in the LA scene. And I just think Blackie Lawless and Nikki Sixx writing songs, doing a project, maybe around also 92, something like that, you know, maybe as Wasp kind of as, you know, dissolving, even though it exists, it doesn't have any of the original guys anymore. I mean, we all know what happened in Motley Crue in 92. So that's one project I would like to have seen. Maybe it wouldn't be a Blackie in Motley Crue, but Blackie and Nikki doing something together. But let me give you another scenario. And this doesn't necessarily, you can pick, how about, this is going to be unprecedented. You will pick who you want to be in this band. And I'm going to tell you who's going to try out for it. So we're going to go Motley Crue 91-92 when they're doing the tryouts for to bring in Vince. But Motley Crue in their mind are thinking they want to stick with the sound that they were famous for. They don't want to go in a different direction. They don't want to go, you know, grungy and bluesy or anything like that. They want to stick with the OG original Crue sound. And here's the guys that are going to try out. Are you ready? This is a good one. Okay. Davey Vane.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't that be good, man? All right, okay.
Yep.
Steve Summers. CJ Snare.
Killer.
And then I thought, even though I don't think they could ever work together because Crue has talked too much trash about the band that he's in, but man, Bret Michaels at least taking a stab at being in Motley Crue in 92. Poison was kind of fading. It wasn't as big as it was. Native Tongue didn't do shit. What could have happened with one of the biggest 80s frontmen to replace Vince Neil, Bret Michaels? So those are my guys. I think some of them have... wait a minute. Did I say CJ Snare?
You did, yeah.
Okay. So he's another one that I think has... A lot of those guys that I mentioned, aside from Bret, because I think Bret doesn't really sing all that high, but the other guys all have that whiny, you know, sleazy voice that would be so cool if Motley continued to do, you know, their classic sound. So... All right, out of everybody I mentioned, who would you have picked to be the lead singer for the tryouts?
Oh, dude, that'd been so brutal because right away I was going, okay, Steve Summers would have been the happiest human on earth if he could have landed that spot.
Yes.
And he probably would have had the most passion
and
done the best job. But obviously, it's hard because, like, I love CJ's voice. I love it. I don't know if it's too good.
And he's not—he's not nasty enough. He's like too—he seems
He's
not nasty enough to be in the crew. But I think his voice has that same kind of a vibe. Where yeah, he'd really be like more of a like a step up, like professionally vocally than Vince. But it still has that same vibe.
He's a little too wholesome, I think.
He's too wholesome, though.
But then Davey Vane, dude. I mean,
that's the one I'm kind of leaning toward, right? That's kind of nice.
I know it's right there. I wonder if he's too sleazy, or I don't know. Like Vince, I don't know, dude. Vince was just. It's so hard for us to think about something other than. But I don't know. I think I'd have to go with Steve Summers.
Yeah. I think for me, I think if I could rewrite time and actually pick it, I think I would have went for Bret Michaels just to see what it could have did commercially. He's the only one that if there was going to be a platinum or a gold album or whatever to come out of this thing, I think it would have had to have been with Bret Michaels.
Gosh, dude, that's so hard. Why you got to do that to me?
I don't know. That's just how nuts I am, how my brain works. So, right, man. Well, that was fun. I hope everybody enjoyed these team-ups and it kind of visualized how they would sound. I hope people contribute and put in the comments who they would like to see as team-ups, because I think everybody has had those dream teams. They're like, why didn't these two guys get together? Or why didn't this singer join this band? And the crazy thing is looking back, is there were so many golden opportunities. Look how many we said where we were like, man, I would buy that in a heartbeat. That would have been so huge. So, yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, and it's like, as Piercy and Tracy Gunn, I mean, it's like Blackie and Nikki, it's like, wait a minute, that didn't happen? Like, it's perfect.
Right, and the thing, the cool thing about like probably 75 to 95% of these, a pretty high percentage, most of these could still happen. Most of these people are still alive, and most of these people are still doing it. So, like I said, quite a few of these could still be a thing. So, who knows?
Yep, totally.
Cool, brother. Well, hey, good chatting with you.
All right, you too.
Have a good one.
Well, that was a fun one. I hope you enjoyed it. Rock out!